Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jerry Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, run by two people who are definitely not men. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, man?
I'm not entirely sure how to take that. Not much, man. How you doing?
All I have to say is that we're teenagers.
Yes.
And the reason that I have to bring that up is because I spent a good hour and a half yesterday watching a video of a moonwalking dog in some cosplay, and so all I can think to myself is, I am not an adult, because I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, that cracks me up. That tracks. We had the internet, and it's like, early accessible days when we were teenagers. Like, it wasn't like the very beginning of the internet. We're not quite that old, but it was the very beginning of like the accessible internet.
Yes.
Like having entertainment content at your fingertips. Like, I remember, because this is how old we are, waiting for images to load.
Yep.
Like, that was like, you complain about buffering today. We sat there and watched an image load progressively line by line on the screen. I would be looking up screenshots for video games, because that's, again, how old we are, is that you didn't look up trailers because there was no streaming video at that point. Good God, nobody had that kind of internet. So you would look up screenshots. And that was a big thing, is we went and looked up screenshots, and I would sit there and just watch progressively as like Sephiroth slowly appeared on my screen with the fire behind him, and I'm like, this is gonna be awesome. And then like 10 minutes later, like, oh, that's cool, it's just like, if I say all that to say, if we had the internet of today when we were teenagers, my God, we would have got even less done. Not that we got a lot done, but man.
Okay, so I would like to feel bad about the fact that we're definitely not men, because the last gameplay video that I watched you play was on a cruise ship.
Yes.
Complete with an announcer and some deck chairs and lots and lots of random people playing Queen's Blood, and I just thought it was absolutely fabulous.
So
the only thing that I did not have was an old fashioned in my hand watching that. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, I could have died right there.
Yeah. Like, I also didn't have an old fashioned in my hand because I played that at like 10 o'clock in the morning, which would have been much more entertaining while drinking, playing the Queen's Blood tournament in Final Fantasy. But it was still, it was a trip, but it was enjoyable. I dug that.
Before we dig further into that, because we will,
yes,
we have a lot to talk about, we should say thank you to the Patreon guys.
You're absolutely right. Thanks, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. We appreciate y'all's support so much and your patience as we've been off for a few more weeks than anticipated. With just busyness, end of the semester of school year, that kind of stuff. And so, a little bit of a calm before the storm, because one of the things we have to talk about is Summer Game Fest and related activities are right around the corner. I just hadn't even dawned on me how close this stuff is because I've been busy and it's just around the corner. So we'll be getting more into that here in just a little bit as well. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gamingcensored.com, click that become a patron link there near the top of the page.
Speaking of Patreon, I gotta say thanks again to our buddy Logan for hooking me up with Pilatro, which this is how much I respect this show. Last night, I'm like, well, I got a little time and I really want to play Cyberpunk. But because I respect the show and I know we're doing a show tomorrow, I'm going to fire up Pilatro and just see if I can not make a fool of myself. I haven't done any poker research. I was just like, I'm going to figure this out. And it finally clicked. I figured out two pair and three of a kind and like a full house. Like it just clicked in my brain finally. So I got all the way to the 10,000 point boss blind, which is several rounds in. It's like 7 or 8 rounds in. And I had several jokers, and I was like, I'm rolling. This is fun. And then I got beat. And because it's a roguelike, you start completely over. And it was all your cards. It was all your crap. My initial thought, and please don't take this as an insult, sir, because I know you love these. But, like, when I realized that I had lost and was going to have to start over, my initial thought was, this is really dumb. I'm really dumb.
Yes. They are so dumb. Yeah. You have to be kind of a glutton for punishment for any of these roguelikes, because it is exactly what happens is you like feel like you're getting there. Like this is the emotional roller coaster they take you on. It's like, you're like, okay, this time I got it. Like I'm killing it. Like everything's going the way that it should. And did you just get slaughtered for whatever reason, and you're back to square one. And
yeah, like, and all I could think was, I'm an adult. I don't have time for this time sink that is Pilatro.
Yes.
But now that I've figured it out, I know I'm going back to it at some point. It will not take the place of Cyberpunk. It will not take the place of any other better game than that. I need to get back to Baldur's Gate 3 for crying out loud.
No joke.
Pilatro is gonna like be in the back there for a little bit. And I may put, like last night I played for like an hour and a half just because I knew we were gonna do this show. And I wanted to not have to turn in my gamer card.
Yep.
For this show, and so I did. I spent like an hour and a half. That's probably not going to happen again for a while. But I do understand it. I do get it. It is cool, but it's also stupid.
Yes.
So
it is, and it's super addictive, and you're going to find yourself getting sucked back into it and going, this time it's going to work. This time I got it. And then you're going to get slaughtered again. And it'll suck you back in again. And that is the curse and the joy of roguelikes.
Yes. It's fabulous. All of that say, it's fabulous.
Yes, like, it is. It's a brilliant game. And I was just looking to see if it's on mobile yet. Because once that thing hits my phone, it's all done.
Yeah.
I don't think it is yet, but it's supposed to be coming soon to mobile devices. So like I said, there is like all kinds of fake ones on the App Store. And so there is a game called Pilatro on Oh, they've updated the name. It's now Balatru.
Yeah.
Joker Poker, Balatru. Somebody got a lawsuit. But the official Balatru are not on the App Store yet. Like I said, when it is, it's all over. That thing's going to own me wholly, completely. And sorry.
So what I wonder is, because I, like last night, I got 7 or 8 rounds in. And in general, because you play a lot of these roguelikes, I know they tend to be short. Like you can get, if you get on a roll, you can get to the end of them and quote unquote beat the game. But it's kind of like golf. You don't really ever beat the game.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how many total rounds there are. In the midst of that, I unlocked an entirely new deck of cards, and so now I have the red cards and the blue cards, and I assume that the blue cards are a step up in difficulty.
The different decks have different abilities. I can't remember what it is. So, like, I think one of them, like the blue deck, is maybe you get one more hand per round, but like one less discard or something like that. They all have different abilities. Most of which are like give you some benefit for a certain gameplay style, but not necessarily make the game easier. It just makes it easier to win using a certain, you know, hand type or strategy with a certain joker or whatever it is. To like quote unquote beat it is eight antes. Each one has 3 rounds, so it's
24. Man, I was right there.
No.
Okay.
No. You were 8 rounds in. You'd played 8 hands. You got to get, like, the last ones are like 70, 80 grand.
To get the
final one that you have to do, which is nuts and obviously very difficult. So when you get to that kind of top level one. And then after 8, whatever it is, rounds. Antes. I think it's what each blind is a round, and there's 3 rounds per ante, and so there's 8 antes. I think that's the terminology.
Yeah.
And so when you get to the end of 8 antes and you beat that final boss blind of the 8th ante, then you can keep on going. Actually, there's an endless mode after that, and so you can just go for as long. So the highest I've ever made is like 12, and then it's like 2 million or something points that you have to get. I was like, there's no chance in the world. Like, this is like bonkers. Like, there's no way. And so, you can see how far you can get into it. And that's happened like one time that I've made it. I still almost always lose. Like, I've won a handful of them, but still almost always. So you unlock, after you unlock a handful of decks, you unlock challenges, and it gives you like a certain
set
of jokers.
I do have the challenges available, so I didn't get that far.
Those are fun because they make you kind of think strategically in a different way, because you get set with a certain set of jokers or a certain hand. So like one hand, you have no face cards. All of your cards are just 2 through 9, and you have to, or 2 through 10. You have to figure out how to make it through without having any face cards. Anyway, it's a blast. I love the thing. I still pick it up on a semi-regular basis. I'm not playing it nearly as much as I was a few weeks back. But like I said, once it gets on my phone, it's all done. It will completely and wholly own me on my phone, because if I just have that in my pocket, when I'm laying down right now with the baby, trying to get the baby to go to sleep, you know, like I'm just playing random games on my phone. Balatro is going to be that game soon. And I am very excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I hate it, but it's good.
Speaking of roguelikes, I just have to mention maybe the best ever, one of the top roguelikes, Hades. Hades 2 is now in early access. You can go play Hades 2 at this point. Not that I'm going to go play anything in early access. We've talked about this before. Not really our thing to do games in early access. But the fact that it's in early access has me very excited, because Hades, the original game, is so freaking fun. And again, it's just, I mean, it's a completely different gameplay style, because it's twitchy, action-based gameplay. Like, it's hard in a whole different way, but it's the exact same kind of emotional roller coaster Balatro. Like it's the exact same feeling that you get playing that game, even though the two games couldn't be more different in execution. But it's that progression and then dying, but unlocking a little bit of something that's going to get you a little bit farther next time and then dying again. And then just that constant. And then when you finally actually beat it, that like, yeah, I did it. Okay. Let's do it again. You know, like just they're terrible. And amazing. And they're great and awful all at the same time.
I really like, I don't even really know where to start with the gaming because I know you haven't had a whole lot of time. I watched you play like an hour and a half of Final Fantasy Rebirth, which is fabulous.
Still amazing.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And if you had been sitting here yesterday while I was watching that, I probably would have literally laughed out loud when he steps up and like, I'm gonna play. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Red 13 really wanted to play some Queen's Blood, and they would not allow him because he's a talking dog.
Oh, it's so goofy. I just had that, like, there are moments playing Final Fantasy because, you know, we're like serious gamers and we play, you know, games that are like art and that kind of stuff. And then you get to a moonwalking anthropomorphic dog that's the result of this terrible experiment gone bad, who's like this intellectual and dressed in Shinra gear moonwalking across a cruise ship, and you're like, what are we doing here?
I have to say this, as it was unfolding, I was watching this and going through my brain, because you're the same way. Your brain is going 8 different directions all the time. And as I'm watching this, all I can think is, this is awesome. I have no idea what's going on, but this is awesome. And I swear, if he spins and rips his shirt and screams, I'm done. That's it. Like, that's all there is. Like,
yes.
Just start playing Billie Jean and be done with, like, seriously, like, hat tip to Michael Jackson. That was the most awesome thing.
And just so random. Why? Like, it is so random and so wonderfully random. Like, just amazingly, enjoyably goofy random. And it is like, literally, I had that moment while playing that section of the game where I was like, this is why we play games, because they're stupid and they're fun. And they're like, I'm a 40-year-old man that has, you know, a mortgage and a couple of jobs and a couple of kids. And like, it's just like, there's a lot of life and I like my life a lot, you know, but there's a lot of it that's not goofy and stupid and just fun.
Yeah,
it is. And that really, you know, it's a really nice escape from the seriousness that is being a 40-year-old adult. And getting to watch again a dog moonwalk in Shinra gear for no apparent reason. Like, why? Like, why? There's no reason that he had to come in like strutting and dancing and whatever. But it was amazing, and I loved it. So
we have to talk about the other side of that. Part of the reason that I love this so much is that the cruise ship, and I'm so excited when we get to the airship, because they teased us with the airship, mm-hmm. and it was like, Kyle's like, yeah, that's the whatever it's called.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're gonna get that later. But the thing that blows my mind about the cruise ship is like, it is so good looking. It is so well put together. It is like, if they had other mini games other than Queen's Blood, like, we could spend hours like playing shuffleboard or they could have done so much with that.
Yeah,
it's just so awesome the way they put it together.
Yeah, And we know we're going to get that because we know what's coming. You know, we know we're going to get mini game heaven pretty soon, too, which is really exciting to me because I have so many fond memories of the original game. Obviously, we've talked about quite a bit how much Final Fantasy VII meant to us when we were 14 years old.
Yeah.
And knowing, you know, having those memories of what's going to be, but not knowing how they're going to execute it, because so far everything they've done has been both drastically different than the original while still being so familiar. Like, it just, I've just geeked about it. I'm just like, ah, want more. And it's been killing me not being able to play because of life and busyness, all that stuff we talked about, and so getting to catch up a little bit now, and hopefully more in the next couple of weeks. I'm pretty jazzed.
So one more thing before we get into the news, I have to talk to you about Cyberpunk, because Duff is playing Cyberpunk, because when he played it, it was before Phantom Liberty and 2.0 came out, so now he's playing it again. And like, so I'm getting like midnight texts going, dude, this is awesome. And the one that I got last night was, I think Cyberpunk may be a masterpiece. what I said to him was, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet, but I saw a thing that they're trying to get multiplayer off the ground, and if they manage not to screw that up, because that's one of the things that I said several months ago, this is an environment that would actually work for a live service game,
right?
I'm thinking they're probably gonna massively screw it up, but if they pull it off, and if I get more content, like missions, and like, I'm having a hard time getting through the story because I'm running around the city doing side stuff and working for fixers, and I do a thing where every time I play, I try and do like one main mission.
Yeah.
So like I did the one with Judy where everyone's in the tub and Judy's mad, and then she calls like 3 days later and she's upset about what happened and wants to take over Clouds. And so I've been through all of that.
Yep.
And like, so now Judy's got the whole girlfriend thing going on, sending like texts, and the whole time that this is going on, like I'm in Japantown with Takamura trying to not die while he's trying to get on a float.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is like, it's awesome because it's breathing. Like Judy's like, can you come over? And I'm like, not right now. Like, I'll be there when I get there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of one of those things where you just, okay, I'll be there, I promise. Love you. Yeah. Bye.
That, by the way, that quest line with the parade and having to navigate like through the upper levels of the street.
Right.
Like, so good. Yeah. Really, really fun. That was one of my favorites.
Can we talk about the crowd? Crowd is insane. Like, the number of people that they had on the street. Like, so many people that you, like, have to push your way through the crowd.
Yeah.
And like, it's so well put together. I don't know what the trigger is for Act 3, because I'm not ready for Act 3. And so I need to go on and Google and figure out what the trigger is for Act 3, because I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not ready to get into Dogtown yet, because I feel like I have so much to do still.
Yeah. That's where I am in the game. Like, you're, I don't remember what the trigger is, but the last thing I did was find what the trigger was for Act 3, because I had the same thing. I wasn't ready to get there yet. So you have caught up to me, essentially, and now that gives me even more motivation to pick it back.
If somebody could tell us what the trigger is, because I'm trying to figure out what to do next and what not to do next. I will say this. I really hope that they keep adding content, because I was telling Duff, I'm level 52 at this point. I have 8 levels left, and I haven't really gotten into Phantom Liberty stuff yet. Like, yeah. I haven't been to Dogtown, I haven't gotten any of the permanent buffs. And one thing that I wanted to talk about, and this is something that I can't remember ever saying on this show, but Duff is playing a Netrunner, as am I. He said last time he was running gun and he wanted to play a Netrunner, and he played a couple of days, and he was like, I really think this is overpowered because I'm just rolling over people. And I said, it may be, but for the first time in my life, one thing that I did this week that I hope you will realize how amazing it is that I turned the difficulty up. I went from normal to hard, and nice. I'm not, like, it's more of a challenge, and I'm having to be sneaky and like pay serious attention, because you will get pasted.
Yeah.
But I'm really impressed with the fact, because his complaint was, it's overpowered, I don't think this is cool. And I said, look, it may be, but if it were any other way, I would not be able to play this game. Yeah. Like, did you do the fight with the ninja guy that's supposed to be like the Gray Fox, the Takamura's friend that, like,
yes,
he shows up? Did you do that? Okay, so
I'm pretty sure that sounds familiar.
So that fight, he regenerates his life. Like, if he gets away from you, his life regenerates. And so it took me like an hour to figure out how to stop this guy so that I could beat him down. And he couldn't kill me because I have the blood pump and all that good stuff. And like, they had to work really hard to take me out. It took me like an hour and a half to figure out how to stop this guy. But when I did, it was super satisfying.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go so far as to say it's a masterpiece, but like, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I think that's where I would put it. And with the caveat that I have not played a lot since they've done big updates, but played a lot before kind of pre-Phantom Liberty update stuff. One of the obvious big reasons I would say it doesn't quite reach that upper echelon of, like, when I think of masterpiece video games, you know, it's Breath of the Wild is, yeah, I guess our bar for that kind of thing. It's not that, but it's up there. It's like a really, really good game. You know, not one of the best ever, but like, it's not a top 10 game. It's a top 100 game, right? Like, all time for us. Like, it would be in my top 100.
Well, it depends on what you're looking for, because what Duff is drooling over is the visuals, and he's like, this is gorgeous, and I'm running it at 120 frames per second, and like, he said something really, really dumb, which I corrected him on. He was like, man, this is really pushing my 4090. And I'm like, really, what's your frame rate? And he goes, well, I had to cap the frame rate at 120 frames per second because that's all my TV will do. And I was like, dude, that video card is not being pushed. Shut up. So like, that's what he's in it for, is the environment and how gorgeous it is. And for that, like, there's nothing that touches it.
Yes, that's correct. As far as just pure visual fidelity, masterpiece. Yeah. I would give it that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But game as a whole, very, very good. Now, it transitions us well into our news, believe it or not, because especially when you bring up multiplayer, but just in general, the kind of open world genre that Cyberpunk is, the gold standard for that world is Grand Theft Auto. And Grand Theft Auto, arguably a little bit closer to that masterpiece kind of level, even with the ridiculousness that has been Grand Theft Auto 5. We'll get into that here and more in just a second because it's crazy. But like that's the bar for a cyberpunk type game, right? And so when you brought up multiplayer, like Grand Theft Auto Online has really set what that is. And I have a hard time believing that Cyberpunk could ever do anything like that.
And the thing is like that's one of those things that now that we have this room, you and I really need to get into, because I haven't played any Grand Theft Auto Online. I know it's fabulous. I understand that. I haven't played any of it. I haven't played any Red Dead Online. That's another one that I was saying. I need to get back into Red Dead because now I have the rig to run it. And there's so much Rockstar stuff to play, and now we have the space to really do it right. Yeah. And so yeah, I would be interested in some Grand Theft Auto Online, but really only if we're sitting in the same room going, hey, right. This is cool, you know.
Yeah. So I agree. That's kind of the caveat with that, as we've talked about before, how we enjoy online games, and that would be the same with Cyberpunk. So all that said, a couple of big news stories from Grand Theft Auto World. So first of all, Grand Theft Auto 6 has a release window, which is, you know, the best we could ask for at this point, which is next fall 2025. So expect to see Grand Theft Auto 6 sometime in 2026 at this point, realistically. Let's be honest about this. But what it does, and this is what I'm excited about, because I mentioned a little while ago, we'll talk about this more in just a little bit too, Summer Game Fest is right around the corner. I think there's a chance we might get some Grand Theft Auto happening in the, I don't know if it'll be Summer Game Fest is happening in a couple weeks, or if it'll be Gamescom, or if it'll be, you know, Rockstar doing their own thing at some point over the summer or whatever. But we are in that window where we should start getting content that's more than a trailer, which we saw. We saw the trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6, 6 months ago or
long time ago.
It's been a while since that popped up. Having a release window at least makes that possibility a little bit closer. It also reinforces the fact that this is a game that's still over a year out. Again, if it comes out in like the next 2 years, if it is out 2 years from today, I think that's about the best we could hope for. Like May 2026 seems like a pretty realistic release date. Anything before that would be a little bit surprising to me. But we'll see what happens. So that's coming. We know it's coming. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of it. In the meantime, though, and this is the one that really staggered me, and again, it shouldn't, because we watch this tick up just constantly, but Grand Theft Auto 5, that's been out now for over 10 years. I think 2013,
yeah,
right? It came out on the PlayStation 3. Like, that's how long the game's been out, is that it's been released for two subsequent next generations of consoles and is still killing it, to the point that it has sold over 200 million copies. 200 million copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 that exists in the wild. Second best selling video game of all time, surpassed only by Minecraft, which also is staggering. And Minecraft is 300 million plus, which is just a mind-boggling number too. But for Grand Theft Auto, for being a mature rated title, remember Minecraft is a title that is aimed primarily at a younger audience, though has very obvious wide audience appeal. Grand Theft Auto is a very much a mature title, and about as pushing the boundaries on a mature title as you get. There are others that are in that same kind of category, but there's not a lot of those. Like, it is the edgy.
I would say, and granted, I'm 100 and 70-80 hours into Cyberpunk. I would say Grand Theft Auto is edgier in general than Cyberpunk. Like, they made a big deal about the character creation and generals and all that mess, and you got choices of, like, but there's not really anything that I've seen that's like, oh, like, that's what Grand Theft Auto does. It's like,
for sure.
Okay. Make sure there's no kids.
Like, with the caveat, have you, I'm guessing you haven't, because I imagine we would have talked about it. Have you come across the crucifixion sub?
Yeah, and I have to, I can't believe I almost forgot about that, because I have a problem with that, because I did it last week, and I have a problem that they put it in there, because like, I get why they did, like,
yeah.
Like, corporations are evil, and they're into making money, and here's this serial killer that wants to, like, influence the world or whatever. But, like, so I did the thing. I did the two missions where you go with, like, the mission starts out, you're supposed to kill the guy. And I'm like, I'm not going to kill the guy. And so I followed him for the day, went through the thing, and, of course, I had to look up what the process was to make the thing play out, because yeah. I was like, what are they going to do with this? And there's a certain number of conversational triggers that you have to get through to make that happen. And so anyway, I did, and you get there, and I'm like, and on the IGN website, it says there's a thing for content. I'm like, well, this is going to be wild. This is going to be like, really, I'm going to have to make sure there's nobody just pops in. And yeah. So I get there and they do the thing. And he asked me, he was like, would you wield the hammer? And I was like, nope, not doing that. And so anyway, the producer of whatever steps up, put the nails in, they put the cross up, and he does the thing from, he does the different verses from John.
Right.
And then like, it's over. And I'm sitting there going, like, okay, dude's not dead. He's been there like 2 minutes. Like, somebody could take it down. Like, right. And the other thing is, like, he's wearing like a loincloth, and like I understand and I appreciate that they didn't like go all the way. I appreciate that it wasn't like super graphic. However, I keep expecting that to come, and even that was just like, okay, are you gonna take the dude down? Because he's still alive. Like, I could shoot him in the head right now and make sure that he's dead.
Right.
but he's not dead right now, even though he's not moving. So you see what I'm saying? Like, that's my problem with it, is that, like, it's very much just a, like, we're going to throw this in here and it's going to be edgy and it's going to shock people. And
yeah.
Then I got to the end of it, and I was like, that's stupid. Why did you waste development time on that?
that's an interesting take on it. I think,
what did you think, just out of curiosity?
Well, I did it. Like, I chose to.
Oh, you did the hammer. No, okay.
And I think that, you know, like, I think just the visceralness of that changes the experience some, of, like, you having to, like, quick time event pull the trigger to, like, right, hammer nails into the dude's hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, watch him, because you get the up close view as you're doing it, because the whole thing's in first person, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like, just the CD Projekt Red likes the sacrilegious nature of stuff. Yeah. And so, like, they do it in The Witcher for that kind of shock value, and so they did it here for that shock value. It was, because, you know, just like you said, I had read about it before I did it. It wasn't as shocking as I was expecting, in part because I knew it was coming, yeah, right? Like, if you had it read about it beforehand, it probably would have gotten you a little bit more.
And the thing is that you have to read about it. Like, that's one of those things that you can't just, like, stumble on, because the way the triggers are set up to make it happen, like, there's no way that you can know, okay, this is what you have to say to
Can, because it guides you to that. It wants you to do that. Like, the game draws you to that conclusion. Like, that's the conclusion that CD Projekt Red wants you to get to. If you go in and play that whole thing without any kind of prompting, and you, like, just buy into the narrative, you're going to end up with that result, right? Because that's the result they want you to end up with. It's not an Easter egg. It's the thing, because, again, they want you to experience that shock value. That's what they put effort into. Like, they're not hiding that. So the only pushback I would give is they want you to get there. And if you don't know it's coming and you get there, you'd go, holy crap, this is screwed up.
Yeah.
Which was for me. Yeah, like, I bring up this example a lot from CD Projekt Red in The Witcher 3 with the demon baby. Like, that I didn't know was coming. And that still haunts my dreams. Like, that one got me, because I didn't know it was going to happen and CD Projekt got me. This one, I'd read about it before and was like, oh, okay.
So can I say this? I get what they were trying to do, and I get the shock value. But my point is when you get to the end of that, and he's hanging there, and I guess my thing is, even if I had done the nails and the whole thing, like, dude hangs there for less than 5 minutes.
Right.
And I would have been like, okay, can we take him down now? Like he's and the thing that I didn't really understand, I kind of wonder if that quest is bugged, because I left and went about my business because it was over. Like, it was done. Right. And so I left and I went about my business, and the corporal calls and curses me out 3 days later because they didn't get something. I don't know what they didn't get. I don't understand what that phone call was.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if I did something wrong and it didn't play out the way it was supposed to. But, like, dude was up there. So, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying it's not shocking. What I'm saying is, other than pointing out the fact that corps are evil,
which we know,
what's the purpose?
Yeah, which is fair. To bring all that back around where we started with this, it's not more shocking than, like, Trevor's storyline in Grand Theft Auto 5, which is just so screwed up and twisted in so many different ways. And to put that in perspective of 200 million units of Grand Theft Auto 5 being sold at this point. Now, to be fair, a lot of people that are playing Grand Theft Auto 5 now have never played the campaign.
I played a grand total of an hour of Grand Theft Auto 5. Like I need to finish Grand Theft Auto 4 and I need to play Grand Theft Auto 5. And I have time to do that, because Grand Theft Auto 6 is not going to be out for the next 2 years.
So
that's something that I really need to do, and I may move that up on the list, because now we know Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming, and it's theoretically coming sooner than we thought. So,
It is a testament for a game that so dominates its space. And again, there's other games that can exist in that, you know, Cyberpunk exists and there are others out there. But, like, I just think of, like, the games that have tried to be the closest competitors to Grand Theft Auto, something like Saints Row, right? That's had, you know, a little bit of success, but for the most part, it's kind of like always like, yeah, you're not Grand Theft Auto, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of those games out there, and Grand Theft Auto stands nearly alone in that world. And again, 200 million copies literally stands alone, aside from Minecraft as the only other game that's done something more impressive units wise, and just nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Good on Rockstar for that, and we'll see kind of where they go from here. A couple of quick things from Microsoft, and one quick thing from, I'll mention two quick things here from Microsoft since one of them ties in, because we've already mentioned Summer Game Fest stuff happening. Microsoft has confirmed that they're doing an Xbox Game Showcase on June 9th. That is their normal Sunday kind of spot that was E3 spot, and it's now just like, hey, we'll just keep doing that same time like E3 was happening, but we won't be at E3 because it doesn't exist anymore, but in the terms of like when Summer Game Fest is happening and all that. And so really interested to see Microsoft this year. I'll talk about a couple of the other things that we already know are happening during Summer Game Fest, but Microsoft in particular is in such an strange place as a company, right? Like, they have hardware, their hardware's not really selling all that much. Do they try to like lean into hardware? Do they announce like a Series X Pro or like a new, like something even higher performance, or like are they just done with hardware and they go all in on software and Game Pass, and we see them barely mention Series XS stuff? I don't know. I'm really curious to what their approach is going to be.
So I meant to mention this on the, I think maybe you mentioned this on the last show that Chad texted us.
Yes.
Said, yeah, I'm the guy that has the Xbox Series X. And I said, of course you are. And then he said, it's probably the last Xbox I'm going to buy, which to this point, you and I still are under no compulsion to go buy an Xbox because Duff paid for us to have really, really nice computers.
Yeah.
And if you're Microsoft, like, if the only reason that you're selling, that your hardware is selling, is because people can't afford a decent gaming rig, like, that's not a good thing. Like, they don't have any real software that I have to play that I can't get somewhere else. That they don't have anything, to me anyway, I'm not gonna speak for you, there is no compelling reason to own an Xbox at this point.
Right. The only thing I would say, not in disagreement, but in context, is they do have lots of software we have to play because they put it out on PC, because right. Microsoft. And that's fine. Like, as long as you like can Microsoft as a company and me as a gamer kind of go, that's cool that like their games are available in places that I don't have to own their hardware. Like, if they're good with that and I'm good with that, I don't see a problem. You know, like, I'm fine with that. Like, that's not the situation with Sony still, but even though more Sony games are coming to PC and it's becoming more of a common thing, and God of War Ragnarok, the latest that's coming to the PC.
Ghost of Tsushima is going to be out like next week.
It just released. Okay. Has, I think, a 90 is in our releases for the week. I think it's a 90 on Metacritic or something like that, which makes total sense. Like, these are great games, and why would they not be great on PC, especially when Sony does a good job of making those ports work, as we've talked about in the past. And so it is becoming more and more the thing that games are accessible in lots of different ways that platforms are not as, at least physical hardware platforms are not as important as they used to be. And saying all of that, like, how much does Microsoft just lean into that and say, we make games, we don't make hardware.
Okay.
I mean, we do, but we don't really care. Like, how sustainable is it for Microsoft to have hardware that they probably don't make money off of selling them, but probably don't lose a ton of money off of selling them either as part of their brand? Like, I think it probably is valuable to the brand of Xbox as a whole to have a physical box that you could walk into a physical store and buy or order off of Amazon or whatever you do at this point when you buy stuff. Like, that's probably a good thing for them as a gaming company to keep that archaic relic of their business model at least going a little bit longer.
Okay, okay, to me it's a tightrope because I'm playing Cyberpunk right now. I've got Baldur's Gate 3, which I have to get back to. We just talked about Grand Theft Auto, which I guess, like, doesn't Microsoft own a piece of Grand Theft Auto? I mean, they don't own Rockstar, they but don't they, like, take
to,
like...
companies I don't think they have, but...
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
soon but, enough, but, that could be an announcement they make, like, right?
But, yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is that it's a tightrope to me because Game Pass costs me $10.66 every month. And when you get here, I'm going to bump it up to 15 because we need the streaming. So my question is if you're Microsoft, you and I both know, you and I have been talking about for 3 years that price hike is coming, right?
Sure.
It's going to go up. So I'm trying to figure out in my head, what is the amount of money that I will pay for? I'm going through the same thing with Netflix. I'm like, every month, I'm like, do I really need this? Like,
right.
Right now, I'm keeping it till like July because they're having that Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight. And I'm like, I want to see that. I go through the same thing with Netflix. Like, apparently, Netflix has the most 4K content on the planet, but you got to pay for, like, the $20 tier. And I'm like, would it really be worth? And that's kind of where I'm at. If Game Pass goes up, at what number is it still worth it?
Yeah.
And if you can keep that to where people are happy and continue to pay that, I don't think you've got a problem. But at this stage, subscription prices are getting so high, people have to start cutting at some point. And I think most people already have. And so I wonder if you're them, how you walk that tightrope.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think trying to find the balance of games as service, which is their model going forward. Like, let's be honest about what Microsoft is doing. That's where they're going. Hardware is still a thing, but how much longer it's a thing for them, I don't know. And so, like, the thing is they have to have that content to compel you to pay that price, because that's like, at this point, with so many different video streaming services, like, the thing that gets me to whatever service is, like, what shows, what do you have that I want, you know, more than it, like,
and the place where they're at that is tough is that if they were my only source for a game, like, if that was the vast majority of where I got my games, it would be a no-brainer. You pay that price every month and you're good. But there's other, just like in the video streaming space, there's other places to go for good content. Like, let me just give you a real quick example, and then we got to move. A couple of months ago, we talked about Amazon Prime going up by $3 to go commercial free and have Atmos content. And as annoyed as I am about that I'm now paying for Prime to be commercial free and have 4K content, Atmos and all that, it is more of a no-brainer because the shows that they have are super, super high quality, and it's $3 extra a month. Like, I'm not... Amazon is one of those things, and I think you're the same way, maybe not necessarily just for the video, but Amazon's one of those things that I pay every year and I don't think about.
Yeah.
Like, it just costs whatever it costs.
Right.
Because we use the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And as much as we love Game Pass, and we do, it's fabulous, it's not that service. Like, if there was no Steam, if there was no anything else, then it would be very much more in that Amazon vein. But it's not there yet.
Right. But this is my caveat to that. There's nothing else that's taking its place. Right, because Steam isn't taking its place. You don't pay for Steam.
Agreed.
You have content available on Steam, but you pay for it a la carte, and so you're not paying a subscription there. And so, until there's another really compelling game subscription service, it doesn't have to be Amazon Prime, because there's no competition for it directly. So, yes, there's other competition for it, but it can coexist along with me playing games on my PlayStation, me buying games off of Steam, because I don't have another, but like PlayStation Plus is, you know, not the same, but as close, kind of similar, but it's not to the level of what Game Pass is. And so I can still justify both of those things, because PlayStation Plus doesn't have the catalog that Game Pass does. That's the thing. It's like Game Pass has Bethesda titles, and I'm not getting those anywhere else. I'm not buying a Bethesda title again in the foreseeable future. I'm paying for Game Pass, and I'm playing Bethesda titles.
I feel the opposite, because when I finally do sit down and play Starfield, legit say, okay, now Starfield's the game I'm going to play this, I'm going to mod it.
Right.
So I'm going to buy a copy. And for a lot of games, I would rather go a la carte. Like for me, I guess because of the way they've had it running for several years and they're just catching up, where PC titles are now available on streaming, It hasn't been that service where I go to play games. It's that extra service that, like, I have Steam and then I have Epic, and then I have this over here that has other cool stuff. And
yeah, but that's the point I'm making, is you have it over here because there's nothing else to take that spot for you. It still makes sense to have it, because it's not what the video streaming world is yet. I think gaming will get there. But with video streaming, we used to have Netflix, and you could still go buy a movie. You could watch stuff on TV. You could do whatever, TiVo, whatever you know, we did 10, 15 years ago. And then everything changed where, NBC said Peacock and CBS said Paramount, and we just got all these individualized services, and The Office gets taken out of Netflix and puts here, and then on and on. And then we're now in a place where I'm like, do I pay for Peacock and Paramount and Max and Netflix and Amazon, and or do I start but I don't have to do that with video games yet. We'll get there.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious. Theoretically, we'll get there. I'm really curious because right now, EA stuff is on Game Pass. Big deal. Even though Microsoft doesn't own EA, obviously Bethesda stuff on Game Pass, also big deal. Activision stuff on Game Pass, big deal. But Microsoft owns those, so that makes sense. But EA stuff being available on Game Pass, cool bonus. I would imagine at some point that probably separates. Or we can see continue to see Microsoft with this mass consolidation. And that's where, that's been their business strategy thus far, right? In kind of this new realm of games, is we're just going to go buy people because we have the capital to do that. And then we can just have the games. We just have them, and we can choose to do what we want with them. But we have them. So one quick thing here to add on to the Microsoft June 9th event. They've teased that there's going to be a special redacted game event after that. They're going to showcase a game, a Microsoft title. And the reports are that it's Call of Duty, because they own Call of Duty. Call of Duty is one of the best-selling games in the world. And as much as I have that same exact reaction...
I should have gotten that when you said redacted.
I know.
That is the dumbest...
Yes, 100%. And we're gonna sit there and cringe and cry and moan and everything else, but it is year over year, one of the best-selling video games, if not the best-selling video game on an annual basis. And Microsoft owns it now, and they're going to leverage that thing as hard as they can because it's theirs, and they want to make it. And so it's just like, do they pursue a takeover of EA or of Ubi or whoever's left out there, Take-Two or whatever it is, because that's what they've done.
We have no time to talk about that, but I just had to bring it up. EA is a great example because EA is on Game Pass specifically because they had a service and their service didn't particularly work. They still
have that service. It's still there, but
the reason that they made their stuff available on Game Pass is because they didn't have the number of Game Pass subscribers. Like, if they hadn't had the ability to put their stuff on Game Pass, I don't know that EA Origin or whatever it's called now is still there. Because they, like, I subscribed to it on the base level for a long time, and the base level was all I need. They had this other couple of packages, and I was like, well, I don't need that. I just need to buy your game. And like, I own one game that I play on a regular basis on EA Origin or whatever it's called at this point. And that's why they moved to Game Pass, because they didn't have enough to make it to make it sustainable on its own. So
and that's again an argument for what Game Pass does, right? Like, of the benefit of Game Pass being in the position that it is, and Microsoft being able to leverage that. And again, I anticipate that's what we'll mostly see from them in this event is on Game Pass day one, as they've done on like everything for the past couple of years. So really quick, just for scheduling purposes, to think through what the Game Fest, Summer Game Fest looks like right now. June 7th is the big Summer Game Fest Jeff Keighley event. That's their showcase that they're doing. That's going to be at 4 p.m. on June 7th.
What day is that?
That would be a Friday.
It's a Friday.
Yep. So Friday, June 7th. So that's 2 weeks, if I'm doing my math right, from this coming Friday, which is just nuts. And then there's a Day of the Devs following that. The next day is the Wholesome Direct. There's a showcase of Latin American games. There's a showcase of women-led games. And then those are all on June 8th. And then on June 9th is the Xbox showcase. And then also on June 9th, the personal favorite of ours, the PC gaming show. And so those are the ones that have been announced thus far. We'll see what else happens. As we know from the past several years, Sony probably is not doing anything in this space. We'll likely do something like in July, which is kind of what they've done recently. Nintendo has done a Nintendo Direct kind of around this Tuesday space. And historically, like, what was E3? Nintendo is such a wild card. Who knows what they do? I would not be surprised if they decide to leverage that Tuesday. I also wouldn't be surprised if they don't. Who knows? But it would be cool if they did.
Basically, what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that he and I have to get our crap together because it's sneaking up on us, and it's our favorite time of the year, and we haven't even talked about it because life and kids and jobs and various things. So, we need to get our crap together because it's time.
It is time. It's right around the corner. So there you go. Really quick on releases. I mentioned already Ghost of Tsushima. Out now on PC. 90 on Metacritic. That's kind of a big one. Again, it's that time of year. It's the what used to be E3 kind of lull. April, May, never a big time for big game releases. I mentioned Hades as well. Hades 2 in early access. It's a big deal. Like, already, like, tons of people playing Hades 2 in early access. And so, but we'll get tons of announcements and some shadow launches and all that kind of stuff in the next couple of weeks as we get these big events, directs going on. Not conferences anymore. I always want to say conferences. None of them are conferences anymore.
No.
For the better. Like, let's be honest. I'm okay with that.
I
miss the days of the big conference, but like, we get better content now.
Look, I have no idea how we're going to get everything done that we need to get done. We still need to play Spider-Man 2, for crying out loud.
I literally forgot about that game until you said it just now. Like, I'm just writing through like the games I need to play, and that wasn't even in my brain. And I'm like, oh man, that game's phenomenal. And like, it just, man, yeah. Like, dang it.
Like, really, here's where I make the pitch that we need your money, because I need to figure out a way to pay that man to come and like live here for like 2 weeks, because that's the only shot that we got.
Like, we gotta get some games in, man.
That's the only shot that we got to get through everything that we need to get through, is if he just like comes to my house and hangs out for a couple of weeks. And for that to happen, we would have to hire like 6 babysitters and like like send the sexy sidekick on a trip of our own, and like it's insane. So we need your money. If you would like to be a part of the Patreon, we'd be glad to have you. Theoretically, there's about to be a lot of content on Patreon if we can manage to get our stuff together, and we will. So definitely go over there and check that out. There's always stuff going on the Facebook page. Lots of great guys over there. Lots of community over there. Those guys keep me awake because they're playing stuff that we are not playing.
Yep.
Sam, I'm looking at you, buddy. I hear what you're saying. For the life of me, I just blanked on what he's playing and that we have to play.
It's Stellar Blade, I believe.
Stellar Blade, yes.
Yep.
I'm very interested in that because he's been geeked about that for a couple of weeks. So Facebook is where the community is. If you want to go and hang out, lots and lots of cool guys hanging out over there. And basically what they do is troll us in between shows. That's their entire job. We are also on X/Twitter. Lots of stuff going on there. There's just so much stuff to do, and we need more time.
Yes.
That's what we need. For right now, sir, is there anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more week, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.